Bring yourself back online.
Remember.
We're back. Freeze All Motor Functions, a Westworld podcast that doesn't sound like anything to me and doesn't take itself too seriously. I'm your host, Jared Borislow, here with the birthday boy, Ross Bolin.
Hello, Jared. It's true. I was born on this day 21 short years ago.
21. Ross, how's it feel to have that first sip of tequila today, this morning?
It was so good. No, I'm 31. I'm old.
You didn't have to tell people that.
Nah, I want to be real.
Do you think people will believe that I'm only 22?
You're not only 22.
You don't even know how old I am.
That's just a lie. I do know how old you are.
How old am I?
26.
Nope.
25.
24. 20. Oh,
25.
It was your third guess.
I was close.
It's your birthday, and I'm going to be very extra specially nice to you today.
I really am looking forward to that. Thank you.
Because it's your day. We're coming to you from Grand X Media headquarters in Austin, Tejas, with our Thursday Analysis Mode episode, wherein we will be responding to a bunch of leaked, soaking wet listener voicemails from the cold line.
I'm looking forward to hearing what's going on here on these voicemails. Nobody has any chance of making anything clearer, including us.
Yeah, we're all just sitting here.
This is just hot air at this point.
Maybe your birthday present from a listener will be going against that.
Clarity?
Clarifying something.
God, that would feel good. Let's see. Let's try it.
So that's the goal today, is to get one listener to clarify something for us.
Please.
Thank you, by the way, listeners, for listening, subscribing, rating, and reviewing. If you enjoy what we do here and you haven't reviewed us yet, a lot of people have rated us. The reviews are like half of the ratings. The rating is the 5-star thing. You put the 1 to 5. Hopefully you put the 5. And the review is where you write a little couple sentences. And if we get to 600 reviews, we will drop the niche, classic, cult, popular, bombshell, dream t-shirt.
The niche, popular, classic, cult,
yeah.
Bombshell?
Yes, everybody loves Data Rules Everything Around Me. It's a huge hit. We have some mock-up designs you can check out on our Twitter, at Freeze All Motor, at 97 more reviews. So here's the deal. Kevin from the United States of America.
Also you, Sarah.
From the United States. We know who you are. We know your name and your country of origin.
I know the last 4 digits of your social.
And Ross is going to leak those onto the dark web if you don't go and review our podcast on iTunes right now.
I'm deep into the dark web.
Kevin and Sarah. Yeah, I'm calling you out. It's you. The person going, do you think it's actually me?
Like, Kevin!
Kevin.
That was my Home Alone impression.
No, it was really good. See, I'm gassing you up for your birthday.
Thank you.
That's the deal. Go review us on iTunes, Kevin and Sarah, and anybody else if you want to. You also can buy our current t-shirts at Grandex Shop. That's GRANDEXShop.com. They're amazing, as Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut, will tell you later on in the podcast.
Another famous Kevin, shout out to Kevin from the Minions movies. Great Minion, Kevin.
Shout out to my fraternity pledge son, Kevin.
Okay.
He's a good guy. I like him. He's cute. Okay, here's the deal.
What?
Let's get into the calls.
Hey, Ross. Hey, Jared. It's intern Serena. So all this talk of God and free will reminded me of the Riddle of the Sphinx episode where artificial Mr. Delos has that creepy line where he says, they said there were 2 fathers, 1 above, 1 below. They lied. There was only ever the devil, and when you look up from the bottom, it was just his reflection laughing back down at you. To me, the figurative read on that is that the world isn't good versus evil, but rather that good exists as a reflection of evil and vice versa. But more literally, I thought of Arnold and Ford as the 2 fathers. Arnold is God and Ford is the devil. While Ford may align himself with God, I think he's something of a false prophet. The fact that we only see his reflection this episode, and in some cases he's specifically Bernard's reflection, indicates that he may actually be the devil Mr. Delos was referring to. Plus, Delos saying, look up from the bottom, / his reflection laughing down at you, and all the use of fire in this season suggests that maybe this world we're seeing is already hell. Okay, that's all I got, and happy birthday, Ross. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Oh, thank you, Serena. Why does she keep calling him Delos? It's Delos. But she She would know better than me.
Don't bite the hand that wishes you happy birthday.
I won't bite the hand that wishes me happy birthday. It's just very confusing. They just made me want to sing that song like De Los, De Los. You know that
is
song?
That is that also Harry Belafonte?
Daylight come and me want to go home.
Micah, can we get a confirmation on that? Is that the second Harry Belafonte reference?
Who the fuck is Harry Belafonte, Jared?
Are you serious?
I'm dead serious.
Jump in the line.
That's the same dude?
Yeah, isn't it?
Wow.
I think it is.
Wow. Okay.
Anyways, I very much think this is a very poignant call from Mitch and Trina, as always.
We're a Harry Belafonte podcast now.
We are. So she's saying that when Mr. Delos was giving the talk about the two devils, or the two fathers, one above, one below, that the one above was Arnold and the one below was Ford, but that what Delos is saying is that there's really only one, and it was Ford, who's like the one who's really in control of everything, and he's just there to fuck shit up. He's just the devil. So he's not God in Mr. Delos' eyes, according to Serena. He's the devil.
Pretty concerning. And I could see that, yeah. I mean, we're still... Ford is very up in the air for me, you know? I could absolutely see him being pure evil.
I love him, though, so much. He's like my grandpa, in a way.
Your evil, evil grandpa.
Yeah, my grandpa.
Maybe.
I every time that Anthony Hopkins is on the screen, I just feel like we're lucky as human beings to witness it. Because this man is not young. This is an old man.
Yeah, he's also a bit unhinged in real life. His social media is strange.
By the way, did you ever see that video of him like playing piano?
Yes.
That was the song that he ended up playing when Bernard walked into the Cradle Saloon.
He's such a sneaky fuck.
And his face in that video when he was like dancing to that song.
He looks insane.
He looks like a clinically insane human being.
Delos.
By the way, Intern Serena, thank you for the call. Intern Serena will be on the show soon. Wait, is that next week?
What?
Next week. Yeah, she's coming on the show.
Oh, our show on the podcast.
Yes, our show.
I thought you meant she was like making a guest appearance on Westworld, which would be also tight.
No, she's coming on the show. She'll be in Austin. And so...
we're going to have a guest.
A guest. Our first guest.
A female.
Not including Dan, who called Maeve Meeve, and Dave.
That never happened.
That what?
I don't even remember that.
You totally have taken that out of your brain?
Doesn't sound like anything to me.
All right, next call.
Hey, guys. This is Ethan from Boston. Now, to counter... Jared's Spanish degree, I happen to be a French minor. So I can tell you guys a thing or two about the title of this most recent episode. Les Écarchés does translate to the flayed, but it can also translate to the grazed or the tormented souls. Now, we have a lot of examples of tormented souls throughout the show, most notably the hosts, I guess. But it could also refer to the grazed, which would mean grazed by a bullet, almost killed, but not really. We could be talking about the Man in Black and Maeve. A lot of different, you know, options there. And there's also a saying, which is écarché un nom, which means to mispronounce a name. Like Jared continuously mispronounces every title ever. Like even managed to screw up face space. So, yeah, just some food for thought there. Let me know what you think. Maybe some other tormented souls in the show might be if you want to run with that title. Have a good one, guys. Take care.
Now, what I respect about Ethan, aside from him also having a degree in a foreign language, is that he caught what I was doing all season long. I actually knew that that this episode title would be Les Écarchés. And I knew that part of that word was, you know, to butcher a name in French. Écorché un nom, you know, to like mispronounce a name. And that's why I've actually been mispronouncing names for the entirety of this podcast.
I don't really understand much of what was just said by you. I thought his call was good. What you just said was like literally another language.
Huh. Well, I don't want to confuse you on your birthday, so I guess I can get off of that narrative. But I, Ethan, apparently there were more definitions.
A lot
than
of people
we
went
said.
With the tormented.
I like the skinned or flayed.
Which makes no sense.
What do you mean if it makes no sense?
It doesn't make nearly as much sense as the tormented.
I think all of them work. When every time that there is a...
Sure, they both work, Jared, but the torment, the tormented just makes more sense.
Dolores has no skin.
Face value. Just in one scene.
And that was the central scene of the entire episode.
And just the neck down on her smaller body than actually makes sense. I stand by that, by the way. The body's too small.
It has no skin on it. It has nothing on it.
Skin doesn't make your body bigger.
If you looked at a skeleton, you'd be like, oh man, that's a really small human. It's like, no, that's not a human. That's a skeleton.
Well, that doesn't have muscle or anything on it. This is different.
You know, far be it from me to argue with a man on his birthday. We love you, Ross. And here's the next call. Maybe somebody here can give you some of that clarity you so deeply seek.
Hey, guys. This is the fan listener formerly known as Bobcat. I've got a theory regarding Ghost Nation that based off the trailer for this week's episode, I felt like it was the right time to break it out. So I think Ghost Nation is a tribe of hosts led by Akacheta, who we know is called the First of Us. And I think he's called the First of Us not because he's the first host or even the first Ghost Nation member, but the first host to reach consciousness, similar to Maeve and Dolores. But unlike Maeve and Dolores, he understands, he can see the good in humanity. So he's like Bernard in that sense. And so he's leading his fellow tribe members to save all the humans in the park from dying in the case of a catastrophic failure like this one. Because we know the point of the park isn't to kill the humans or anything, but it's to save the humans and make them into the next version of themselves, the host. And since he's like Maeve, this would also explain why he can change hosts, and that would explain why they aren't able to, they don't respond to the freeze all motor functions command and stuff like that. So let me know what you guys think. Just something I'm running with right now. Love the pod. Peace.
Ooh, Bobcat. I guess he's not known as Bobcat anymore.
Formerly known as Bobcat.
We have seen in the trailer for this coming episode that it's going to be very Ghost Nation heavy. That's like all they even showed in the trailer.
I haven't watched the trailer, I'll be frank.
I thought you were Ross.
I'll also be Ross, but I'll be frank as well. I'm not a trailer boy.
A trailer park boy?
No, I'm not a trailer boy or a trailer park boy. I don't watch the trailers, man. I don't like getting any, upcoming shit up in my brain before. I'm a purist.
Okay, makes sense. But for those of us who did manage to see the trailer.
Yeah, I'm not saying you shouldn't discuss. I'm just saying I don't really have a lot to add here.
A lot of Ghost Nation things we see. We see Akacheta, what looks like his wife. We also see what looks to be Akacheta going through the desert and possibly stumbling across our man, our best friend in the world, Logan.
I have my ears plugged. I don't know what you're saying right now, but I'm sure it's poignant.
Yeah. So, guy, if you're a Logan lover like this podcast is, it's a very good chance we see some Logan in this coming episode, which will be, oh my God.
I heard you say Logan. I'm excited.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
All right, Frank, let's get on to this next call.
Hey, this is James from Connecticut. With the storyline going the way it is with them wiping out the human race, do you think Dolores would go as far as wiping out like children and like human babies that haven't had the option to make the decisions that the hosts are so upset about? Just wondering that question. Give me your thoughts. Thanks, bye.
Yeah, dude, Dolores is not going to discriminate between like innocent babies and grown-ups. I don't think she cares. It's just humans, right?
I mean, we know Maeve like has a soft spot in her heart for human children.
That's a totally different person. That's Maeve.
You think Dolores would go and just kill a baby? This is like, this call is the Westworld equivalent of the if Hitler was a baby.
No, it's not. And what, dude, Jared, here's the question. What the hell good is she going to have for human babies in her new world? What's she going to do with them? Raise them up to be humans? And how would that fit into what she's got going on here?
She could raise them to be slaves.
That's actually a good answer.
Thank you.
But do they need, they don't need slaves. They're robots.
I mean, you don't think Dolores would take a slave if she could get a slave?
Enslaving the human race.
Literally. That's a very common trope for any sort of other non-human entity. That's like the end goal for every non-human is to enslave the human race.
If Dolores is the brain in Westworld, who's Pinky? Is it Teddy? It's Teddy. I just answered my own question.
Well, no, not that old Teddy. Yes, not new Teddy. New Teddy's too badass to be Pinky.
Well, I'm Okay, let me have a follow-up question here. Do you think at some point, new Teddy, badass Teddy, is reverted back to old Teddy? I'm going to say yes.
Maybe.
You don't think we'll ever see old Teddy again? Sweet Teddy with the terrible cheesy lines and the awful everything, personality.
Maybe we'll see a glimpse of him. I don't think he'll be a central character. Maybe it'll be right before he dies.
Wow.
Wow. Next call. Oh, wow, next call.
Wow.
Hey, it's Matt from New Jersey. I'm calling in because I was listening to your last episode, and I couldn't help but think and compare Ford to another character, the Oracle from The Matrix, because he has this sense of free will where, almost like when the Oracle is telling Neo, listen, you still have the ability to make the choice, even though I know what your choice is going to be, the choice is still there for you to make. And they are constantly struggling between this concept of having the choice when someone already knows the outcome that's going to happen. And they even ask the question, what's the point of me making the choice if you know? And I feel like that's the point where Ford's at. He understands what everyone's about to do, but at the same time is allowing them to still, quote unquote, make a choice. He's just so well involved and so knowledgeable about what they're thinking that he's already planned out what he believes their choices will be. Anyways, that's my thought. Let me know what you think. And love the pod.
It's a great call, Matt from New Jersey. I tend to agree with you. I think that Ford is a lot like the Oracle from The Matrix in that he probably loves Keanu Reeves, as we all do. But I also think, yeah, Ford, his whole deal with the relationship between the host free will is that whether or not he decides to impact their free will, he knows exactly what they're going to do at all times.
How?
Because he created them. He's their creator. So he knows how they're wired, how they're programmed. He also clearly can control shit with his brain. So maybe he's tapping into their brains. Like, not their subconscious, not their conscious, because tapping into their conscious it wouldn't really make a difference because they could still change shit on a whim. He just knows how they're programmed. Like he says, he knows how they're wired. He knows exactly what they're going to do because he made them. He's their creator.
Yeah, that's great. I'm just shocked that we just had a call connecting Ford to the Oracle from The Matrix. I didn't see that coming.
Yeah, well, stay woke, buddy.
I'm woke as hell now.
You know, an interesting thought then, if you're going to connect the Oracle, is that how about when Bernard brought in Clementine to hold Ford hostage and Ford let this all play out. Yeah. Bernard asks why, and Ford says to Bernard, I wanted to see if, given free will, you would come back and join me, but I was a fool to do that. So why did he, if he was so all-knowing, then why did he think that might even be a chance? Was he just saying that to Bernard to make his free will seem more like an actual thing than something Ford could take away at any moment?
Look, that's what makes this current predicament so unsolvable, is that Ford regularly says things that we are taking his word for it when his word is not. I mean, he is capable of saying things just for the sake of saying them, for misleading the hosts, which therefore would mislead us as viewers. I don't know what to take as serious. Like, you know what I mean? It's just impossible to know if he let that play out truly because he wanted to see if Bernard would make the decision to come with him on his own, or if he always knew and he just likes playing fucking games because he's bored.
Yeah, I think he always knew, but he just wanted to watch it play out. Like, he wanted to give Bernard the technical opportunity to do it, knowing that he wouldn't, just to see how Bernard would go about not joining his side. You know what I'm saying?
Right, that makes sense.
Like, he can know it, and that's all well and fine, but to actually see it play out is kind of probably like some sort of weird sexual thing for him.
Okay, now it's sexual? Yeah.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah.
He doesn't fuck the host, so.
I anticipate at some point we get a scene of Anthony Hopkins making sweet love to a host.
Yeah.
No, we won't.
Next call.
Peter from Connecticut. Love my FAMF t-shirts, FYI. So what the Valley Beyond is, I think, is where Delos is storing the people copies to because we know that Ford says his mind won't survive outside of the cradle. What if Delos built the cradle for the people where they're living there in like Second Life Land or The Matrix, trying to figure out how to finish them so they can stick them in people bodies, but their minds are just sitting there doing things in the human cradle. I think that's what the hosts are going after, because Dolores says your chance at eternity will die in that valley where all with all the souls you've gathered there, those souls being guests. So I think that's what's happening. Peace out. Love the show.
Ross, you have a confused look on your face.
Yeah, help me understand what he just said, please.
Okay, so he said the Valley Beyond, he thinks, is where they're storing the downloads of the people cop. He thinks it's like a human cradle.
Okay.
So it's a so Ford put himself into the host cradle. He thinks there's a human cradle, and that's what's in the Valley Beyond. And so Dolores says she's going to go there.
That's an interesting concept.
Yeah, to the Valley, and they're going to die along with all the souls being the human copies that they've gathered there in the Valley Beyond, a.k.a. human cradle.
I'm totally down with whatever the human... Clearly, there's a place where they're storing all the human data. All this shit that makes the IP valuable, right? It has to be destroyed. It has to.
But some people think that that's what's in Abernathy's brain.
Well, it was in his brain. You're in his control unit.
So you think Dolores...
I know what a control unit is now, guys.
Yeah, there you go.
How do you feel? I feel good.
So you think that... There's two copies, the control unit and the human cradle, or do you think those are two distinct memory data sets things, cradle robber?
Surely there's no way they could have uploaded the entire database of all the information they've collected from guests over a minimum of a 30-year period into one dude's little brain.
They could right? have. Yeah, they could. They took everything else out of him.
We don't know
they
the
capabilities. They said it's a huge file.
I don't know. We don't know enough about this to be, you know,
we need
making
a tech
guesses.
Guy. We need a tech guy here to tell us.
How many gigabytes can he hold in that thing, you know?
I'm sure it's
terabytes.
I'm sure it's more than terabyte. Like,
what's bigger than a terabyte?
A
gigabyte? Nope. What?
Begabyte.
Triglaglabyte?
I think it's a begabyte.
Oh, a begabyte. Yeah, you're right. That's the next step up. Okay.
Next call.
What's up, fam? This is Aridi from Charlotte again. Third time listener, second time caller. I was just calling to expand upon my pot theory about the weapon being Dolores copying everyone who's ever visited the park into robots and unleashing them upon the world. As we all know, Hale and Bernard have been collecting guest DNA in the park, or I guess Hale has been collecting guest DNA in the park, as we see from a scene with her and Bernard. We also learn in this episode that the robots are the controls in order to map the human behavior. And thirdly, we also know that Dolores has, in fact, trained a robot to act like a human before. Put all this together, and Dolores knows that we have everyone's DNA who's visited the park and can create just a crazy robot army that replicates the humans and unleash them in the world. So that is still my theory about what the weapon is. I do not think she is going to destroy everyone from living forever. And also, as a final note, if you don't think the Valley Beyond is just them leaving the park and going out to the normal world, then you're an idiot. Thanks. Let me know.
That's what I think, though. I agree with him on that last part.
Okay.
The Valley Beyond being that valley where it gets flooded, where all the corpses are, that doesn't make sense to me.
Do you agree with him that every single person who thinks that the Valley Beyond is anything but leaving the park and going out to the real world is an idiot?
No, I don't believe everyone that thinks something else is an idiot.
This man, Reedy, what a hot take. Jeez.
Yeah, I respect his gusto, but I'm just saying, like, it being meant for the Valley Beyond seems like a pretty big-time thing. And if it really means you are meant for this literal valley in the park, that's just not big-time enough for me.
Well, Ford does say about taking Dolores out to like a going between worlds or whatever, right? Right before Bernard smashes that computer thing in and sets the Mesa into shutdown mode.
Bernard smash.
So,
yeah. Think about it, man. It'd be like if somebody told you, all right, the goal is to get to heaven. And then it turns out heaven's like a McDonald's parking lot, you know, 2.5 miles away.
Heaven's a julep on the porch. If you understand that reference, then you have a great taste in music, my friend.
Okay, you got to tell me so I can make fun of whatever this is.
Punch Brothers, great band. I'm actually going to see them in Austin in September.
Whatever.
Yep. If you're a Punch Brothers fan, stand up. Tweet at me.
Hipster Jared over here.
Let's go, baby. Yeah, so, I mean, I definitely think it's possible that the Valley Beyond is going between worlds. But I think that it could be related to the human cradle. Like, maybe all of humanity has been put into this human cradle, and the host going into the human cradle and hanging out with all the humans in there where they're equals is what the Valley Beyond is.
I think it's a Shipley's Donuts.
You think the Valley Beyond... See, the like... That reference is so niche.
I don't care.
That's like, how many chains of Shipley's are there? Like six?
No. Oh, come on, Jared. Come on. That's absurd.
How many Shipley's donuts are there?
Hundreds. Hundreds.
But they're only in Texas, right?
I don't know. No, there are other places. We have some in Austin. Listen, if you don't know, now you know.
No, they don't. Okay, next call anyways.
What's good, Famp Nation? This is Mike from Miami, living in Connecticut. Calling in, actually not about the show at all. I apologize if I was missing last week. I was visiting family in my dog.
That was the whole call?
That was the call.
God damn my dog.
This is the same guy who had his parents call. That one. I just love playing Mike from Miami living in Connecticut's like fucked up calls.
Yeah, that was good.
Here's his real call though.
Oh, okay.
What's good, Famp Nation? This is Mike from Miami living in Connecticut. If you missed me last week, I apologize. I was actually in Miami visiting family and friends and trying to follow my primary core objective to recruit new members to the FAMP family. However, everyone just kept on asking me how many people listen to the podcast, and I couldn't give them that answer. The best I can tell them was to look at the ratings and reviews, and there wasn't much on there. And guys, come on. They're enticing us to get a t-shirt. These shirts are amazing. They're soft as hell. You know, I was the one that mentioned that they were soft as baby host skin. They're great and they're form fitting. And if we just get like, you know, 170 more, you know, reviews, we get a new shirt. So let's do this. It's incredibly imperative too. I actually wore my Famp Nation shirt to a kickball charity tournament. And when I changed into my uniform, someone jacked it from me. So I just want a bulk order. So if we can get the reviews in, we get the dream shirt, I can buy both and just ship them to my house in one piece. That'd be awesome. Help a brother out. So review, that's the sentences, not the stars. Also, Ross and Jared, love you dudes, but come on, you could have chosen any other male's name in the United States to call out. Mike from Miami. Yeah, my real name is Michael, guys. Love you guys. Everyone buy a shirt, review, rate. Have a great week.
I think that Mike from Miami living in Connecticut promotes our show better than us.
Mike from Miami living in Connecticut is diehard. And I love that. And who the fuck steals a t-shirt?
Yeah, what an asshole. I mean, I like that they liked our shirt enough to steal it.
They're like, hey, this is cool. I'm taking this. Like, this is mine now.
That's cool. But yeah, so if you like the show and you want to weigh the show on your chest, freeze all motor functions. It just looks like a Westworld shirt, but it's got a little podcast logo. So, you know, somebody's going to be like, oh, you like Westworld? You're sick. Oh, me too. I'm sick. Yeah.
Sick together.
Yeah. GrandXShop.com. You can get that t-shirt. And if you want more t-shirts, I'll say this right now. I'm going to go loco for a second.
Okay.
If we get to 600 reviews, we will not only drop the Dream t-shirt, we will also drop new colorways of the Freeze All Motor Functions t-shirt. A lot of people have been wanting a navy shirt with white letters, and that's what you'll fucking get.
Damn, I don't know how everybody listening right now hasn't just paused the show and gone and rated and reviewed immediately. Enough about the fucking t-shirts.
It's your birthday. I'll move on.
Hi, it's Sarah from Madison, Wisconsin. Go Badgers. I was just thinking about how you were explaining Ford's view on free will, and I think it's kind of like one of those choose-your-own-adventure books where the storyline is in place, but depending on what choice the host makes determines how they get to the ending or what the ending actually is. Don't know if that's correct or not, just kind of how I was thinking it. Love the podcast. Bye.
Go Badgers.
Go Badge.
Go Badge.
Jared went to Wisconsin, University of Wisconsin.
Here's a little trick. If you want to get on the show, really all it takes is saying either you're from Madison or go Badgers, and there's like a 99% chance you'll get on the show.
Question, is it University of Wisconsin at Madison, or is it just University of Wisconsin?
It's University of Wisconsin-Madison, officially. If you say the University of Wisconsin, it's assumed you're talking about the University of Wisconsin-Madison.
Right, like...
There's a lot of University of Wisconsin. There's Milwaukee, Parkside. People from Wisconsin would be like, why do you say Parkside second and not like La Crosse? But like Oshkosh... Green Bay, Superior, you know, there's a lot of them.
The cheese state.
Yes. So anyways, Sarah from Madison, Wisconsin, Go Badge, says that she thinks it's kind of like a choose-your-own-adventure book where the storyline is in place, but your choices just depend on how you get there. Now,
did you ever read any of those choose-your-own-adventure, like, horror novels? Were they Goosebumps? Were those Choose Your Own Adventure?
I don't think those were Choose Your Own Adventure.
I don't think they were either. But there was some version of something there I remember from my childhood. Really shaped me.
Did it? Did it make you choose your own adventure?
Yeah, that's how I got here, unfortunately. I made some of the wrong choices along the way. And now I have to record with you.
Yeah, you fucked up.
Yep.
So I can see this. Like, I agree with this because they still do have the free will that Ford affords them. Hold for applause.
Please clap.
I just think it's a choose your own adventure where no matter what adventure you choose, you're ending up in the same goddamn place, and that's wherever Ford wants you to go.
Is that the cradle?
It might be the human cradle or the regular cradle. Who knows? It's wherever Ford wants you to go. That's where the book ends. Choose your own adventure, but the adventure is no matter what you pick, you're getting to the same place.
Okay. Well, that's no fun.
Yeah, that's why it's not fun for the hosts. They're just... Still at his whim, but they're picking their way there, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, sure, hon.
That's not the worst Wisconsin accent.
It's not a Wisconsin accent. That's Minnesota. Shout out to the state of Minnesota. Is Minnesota a state or a city?
What?
State of Minnesota. Shout out to the state of Minnesota.
I can't tell if you're kidding or not. Have you ever been to the Midwest, the upper Midwest?
I have not. I love the people, though. I love Fargo.
Let's go drink some swamp waters at the KK.
I don't know what that means, but okay. Is that alcohol?
It is. I'll buy it for you for your birthday.
I don't drink, Jared. What am I supposed to do with that?
I'll drink it for you.
Yeah, you can just watch drink me twice drink. As much. I'll get a Sprite and smoke a joint.
Next call.
Hey, guys. This is Allison from Washington. This week's episode, as you guys covered extensively, was crazy. But I don't know if you saw the preview for the next episode, but I guess we're going into a one-episode biography of the Ghost Nation guy / the guy from the Logan scene. So does that mean we get to see more Logan? Does that mean that we're not going to see Maven Dolores or the man in Dead Black or anything? This week was crazy, but it looks like we're not getting a rest for next week. So let me know what you guys think is going to happen next week because I'm confused and baffled.
I would not be surprised if all of next week was spent on Ghost Nation and Ghost Nation related stuff and we got no major storylines and then episodes 9 and 10 were just absolutely fucking bonkers.
That would be the way to go. I mean, I would be very happy with that. So I listened to this call. I didn't plug my ears. Very pumped for the Logan stuff. Very, very excited that this preview seems to allude to this being a Ghost Nation focused episode. We've needed it. We need to know what the deal is with these people. They obviously play a very important role in everything going on in the park. It's been a long time with no answers that we've been watching them do stuff. I'm psyched for the possibility of getting some answers. I also like the strategy of unloading an insane episode 7, giving us a full-blown episode 8 with none of the main characters like Dolores or Bernard. You can use a break from those people. You can. For real, it gets a little like cumbersome with all the Bernard and Dolores and Maeve shit. Like, give me Ghost Nation... Let's hone in on that, and then 9 and 10, you just, blow all of our minds again.
Do you think there will be a cold open next week?
I think Ghost Nation gives you a good opportunity for a cold open, right? You could do a very sweet cold open, and I mean that in, like, sweet, like, badass, not sweet, like, touching, with Ghost Nation.
I think the Ghost Nation, there will be a cold open, and it's going to end... On that pan shot we see of like the Valley Beyond kind of chilling there.
I haven't seen it, but sure.
Yeah. And here's a call, Ross. This is for your birthday. I decided to play this call from a man who is from Michigan. Apparently the coffee is really strong in Michigan, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Joe in Ann Arbor again. I just had one other thought. Two. One was that you were talking about Ford orchestrating Bernard's return to the cradle. I thought it was Elsie's idea to go back to the cradle after she noticed all the hacking activity coming from the cradle, but it could be that Ford intended for that to be discovered. And the other one is, didn't Ford say that he's going to degrade just like Delos once he's out of the cradle? So we just might see him going crazy inside of Bernard's head. All right, bye.
That's good shit. Okay.
That what? Man fit a lot of commentary into 28 seconds.
I respect that. It would suck if everybody did that, so please don't everybody do that, but that guy,
yeah,
he's got it down.
2-2-2.
Yeah, 2-2-2.
John,
no,
Ann Arbor.
That's cocaine. That's not coffee.
Oh, it's. I didn't know you could tell the difference.
I can.
So he thinks that... I still think that it was Ford who orchestrated it. Like, he put things in place to know that Elsie, even though he can't control her, he knows that if she sees shit's coming from the cradle, she's going to the cradle.
Ford's plan.
Ford's plan. And also, it's possible, technically, that now that Ford is in a body, he's outside of the confines of the cradle, that maybe he will go a little loco. I don't know. They said that in the real world, he is kind of fucked up. So the thing is, he's like inside of Bernard's brain. He is not Bernard. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that could be a defense from going loco.
It's like, what's the bad guy in the first Spider-Man with you know, that tool playing Peter Parker?
The Green Goblin?
Leonardo. Yeah, the Green Goblin. How he's got like another thing inside of his head talking to him or whatever.
He's got the thang on him.
He's got that thang on him. Yeah, no, he's the Ford inside Bernard's head deal really interests me, because I would like to see at some point, I'm not saying I think this is going to happen, I really have no fucking clue, but I'd like to see Bernard get Ford out of his head and into a Ford body.
Get out of my head and into your body.
I hate you so much.
Who is that? Huey Lewis in the News?
I don't think so.
Micah? Micah's like,
I don't think it's Huey. But
Micah,
it's,
who is that?
I love Huey Lewis in the News, though. It's hip to be square. American Psycho, Patrick Bateman.
Micah, it is.
Try getting a reservation at Dorsia now, you fucking asshole. I'm just going to keep saying American Psycho lines until somebody comes in with the information we're looking for here.
How's it taking him this long?
Billy Ocean.
It's Billy Ocean.
Billy Ocean.
Caribbean Queen, now we're sharing the same dream. I love Billy Ocean.
That was awful. That was really bad.
What? Are you serious?
I liked it, though.
I thought it was pretty good. Here's a call from our...
We've been singing a lot in this episode.
We have been.
It's kind of
cool.
This
is our sing-along episode.
I like it.
What's up, guys? This is Todd from Massachusetts here, and I have a crackpot theory about this past Sunday's episode. So when Bernard is being interrogated by Charlotte Hale, and she puts him into analysis mode, he's crying while he's answering her question about where Abernathy's control unit is. Which shouldn't happen if he's in analysis mode, because they're supposed to shut out all emotional response when they're giving answers. So my theory is that he's actually deceiving them in some way about where Abernathy's control unit is and how they're going to go about finding it. Also, I have a theory about the next time we see the Man in Black. I think that we're going to get a great scene of his daughter walking up to him all shot up, going, "Well, well, well. Looks like you should have stuck with me, kid." All right, let me know what you think. Love the podcast. See you guys later.
I am on board with this first part of his call. This has been my theory ever since I saw it. Bernard crying when he says the sector, which ends up being the Valley Beyond, we find out from Carl Strand. I think he's crying because he's like, in his head, Ford's like, "Say this sector, because that's where my trap is. Say this sector." And Bernard's like, "I don't want to say this sector."
Like, do it. Do it now.
Exactly. And I think Bernard eventually just gave in, like he did shooting those guards. And he's like, fuck. But he's sad about it. He did it, but he's sad. And that's why he was crying.
Bernard's sad.
Second part of the call. I don't exactly understand. He thinks that so Grace is going to walk up to him.
And he's going to say, "You should have stuck with your dad."
But he's all shot up.
Who cares? It doesn't matter. That was just a weird guess at a line that might happen.
Yeah, should have stuck with me, kid. If that happens, Todd from Massachusetts, you are a prognosticator.
Should have stuck with me, kid. I wish I could do a good... what's his name? Not Wood Harris.
Ed Harris?
different actor. Yeah, okay. All right.
This is Josh from the Southeast region. And basically, Ford is the representation of the Judeo-Christian God, as thought of by the showrunners. Christopher Nolan doesn't really consider himself a Christian, so his brother may not as well. Therefore, him and Lisa Joy have teamed up and thought of a way to represent God in the best way that they think makes sense, just taking God to his logical conclusion. That's why you have the confusion of what is free will, what is not, because Christianity in and of itself has that constant battle of, do we really have free will as Christians? And so that's the best way to explain it. And not being able to figure out is a natural consequence of the complexity that is God. Hope that helps. Okay, bye.
I could have sworn I said that shit last episode. Did I not? I meant to if I didn't, but yes, that's exactly right.
Yeah, you did say that. And one thing this reminded me of, so Connor Moore, who is a friend of Grand X, I was talking to him yesterday. He was in the office to go on Substock, which is a very funny gym podcast. Check it out on iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe. Connor said he was pointing out a lot of the biblical references. And, you know, we talked about the Last Supper, I think, at one point with Craddock. But one thing he pointed out to me was Abernathy, you know, he was like kind of sacrificing himself for the greater good. Like he had to die in order for Dolores's like stuff to
just
keep going
like,
on.
Just like Jesus.
He was also crucified on that fucking chair.
Wow.
He was nailed down.
They have done a ton of biblical stuff this season, which they, to my remembrance, they didn't last season, really.
No,
but there's been a lot, like, I mean, a lot of really blatant, very cool, like the Craddock Last Supper was very obvious and super cool. I've appreciated that element of the show. Like it, I mean, I'm trying to think of he's arguing that Christopher Nolan, this R. Nolan's brother, isn't a Christian, isn't religious, whatever. And that possibly that's why, what's the name of R. Nolan?
Jonathan Nolan?
Jonathan Nolan maybe isn't either, and that's why he's doing... That's a little weird, because if you didn't believe in the Bible or Christianity or whatever, why would you go so far as to analyze it through this character like that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe it's the opposite, that he does believe, and he's just exploring this concept through the show. I don't know. Doesn't really matter. Either way, I'm totally on board with the Ford kind of... you know, embodying what is supposed to be the Judeo-Christian God and all the complexities that come with it. That was like one of the smartest sentences I've ever said.
Yeah, wow.
Happy birthday to you. I'm going to go lay down now.
Yeah. Thank you, Ross. That was great.
Hey, it's Kara from Massachusetts calling. I have a question related to Bernard and Elsie. I noticed in particular this episode that it seems like the only person that talks to or even sees Elsie is Bernard. It made me start to wonder if any episode since her return had her speak to anyone else, with the exception of Crazy Jim Delos, who didn't really talk to her as much as, like, talked at her as he was lunging in her direction. And then I started thinking about Bernard's condition where he can't trust the faces he sees. I forget the word for that. I feel like that wasn't a throwaway symptom, but I also feel like the show hasn't done much with it, so it has to be coming back as a thing, right? This has led me to wonder if Elsie is even there or if she's a hallucination. Or if Elsie is there, is it really Elsie? I mean, it literally could be anyone. It seems like the show conveniently gets her to go anywhere else every time Bernard interacts with other people or hosts. Like they're trying to purposefully keep her away from the other characters on the show. I don't know. It's been seeming weird to me. Do you guys think anything's going on here? Thanks. Love the pod.
Very interesting. Do I think? No. Does this make for a great crackpot theory? Yes, it does.
I could absolutely see that being a twist. We kind of touched on it at one point. how somebody thought it might be Charlotte Hale, and I don't necessarily, instead of Elsie, and I don't necessarily buy that, it just because it doesn't really fit, but...
It definitely doesn't fit now that we have a better sense of the timeline.
Right, but I do think it is interesting that we haven't really seen Elsie interacting with anybody else. It just is her and Bernard in a silo, kind of off doing things, and we know we can't trust Bernard's mental state. The question is, when we watch those scenes play out, we're not always seeing them from Bernard's perspective. We're seeing them from Elsie's perspective at one point when he's unconscious or whatever and plugged into the machine and shit. So that's what makes this theory a little shaky for me.
Okay, well, here's what I'm going to say right now. Crackpot theory. Elsie, there's two ways that you can look at this if you want to go down the Elsie rabbit hole. There, you can say that we know that Bernard, one of his symptoms that we find out is he looks at faces incorrectly. Like he can confuse faces. It's like prosopagnosia or whatever. So either it's somebody else who Bernard is seeing as Elsie, but that doesn't really fit with the fact that he found her in the cave and like she knew all this stuff that only Elsie would know. So it would make more sense, and this is my crackpot theory, that Elsie was kidnapped by Bernard. Her consciousness, or her like whole, her whole mind was uploaded into the human cradle, and then that was in turn put into Bernard's head.
Very possible.
That's a crackpot theory.
Very possible. Yeah, the main thing that really drives down the Elsie trickery theory is that very clearly Ford had Bernard take her and, you know, basically tie her up till she was needed again.
Yeah.
To keep her from digging any further or fucking anything up. And it just that makes all too much sense to me. That whole relationship.
I don't think it's anything more than that, but you never know with this show.
Hey guys, new fan of the show, love it, absolutely great. Just got two quick questions, kind of running through it. Basically, my first one is Ford acting as some sort of virus and like taking over Bernard, or is he convincing him, kind of like the devil on the shoulder and trying to make it do that? I kind of believe that there's no way that he's leaving it up to chance, and he still has a big, major part to play in what Bernard is doing moving forward. And my next question is, if Dolores is like so set on getting Teddy like out of his loop a couple episodes ago, or like not being so sentimental, then why is she so sentimental to Abernathy? You know, if she really just wants the data inside of his head, then why is there this big reunion? There's some really weird kind of feelings between which Dolores is it. Maybe you guys can explain a little more. Thanks, guys. Love the show.
Well, I'll go after the second question. I think a lot of what we see there is just her programming coming into play. Like, she still has all those characteristics and emotions programmed into her from being, you know, the little girl on the ranch or whatever, and they just kind of naturally come out. I don't think that's indicative of how she feels. Like, we've discussed a little bit about how Dolores, it seems like she's using people sometimes, like Teddy or her dad even. Like, and that's just because she seems to be putting up this front of, like, I really care about you and love you and have all these emotions and feelings about you. But then in reality, she's just using them for, you know, her own purposes or whatever. And I think that's just a result of her programming and her backstory and her cornerstone and all that shit.
And going back, if you remember, something that we haven't touched on in a while is how Dolores has two voices. She has the non-accented Wyatt voice and she has the accented Dolores voice. What might be happening, and I'd have to go back and rewatch the scene where Dolores kind of betrays Teddy to figure this out, is she might... Teddy might not be like ingrained enough in her programming, like Ross was saying, to bring out those feelings of like intense love and like compassion for her. And she might be talking in the Wyatt voice in those scenes. However, her dad is such a deep part of her that it just brings out the Dolores in her.
Right. Yeah. Because she's got, I mean, first, what was that, episode one of season two where she addressed the multiple personality disorder she's now suffering from?
Something like that. Yeah. So he also says he wants to know if Ford is like a virus or if he's like a devil on the shoulder. So like is Ford in control of Bernard now, or is he just kind of like guiding him?
Because of the way it's been visualized for us, we don't really know yet. Because it doesn't make sense to me that it would be the devil on the shoulder thing, like that he has to convince him to do things. It makes way more sense that he's just straight up able to control him. So I'm thinking it's the latter.
And that's what this caller is saying as well, and I tend to agree.
Yeah.
Next call. Oh, it's my man from the upstate New York.
Hey, guys. Dave from upstate New York. Thanks for the shouts last week. Appreciate it. Love the show. Quick thought, Ross, about how you were saying you didn't get, like, you know, what's the point of a locked door if they can kick it open? I think, and this might be really wrong, I think that because this is after we've seen Ford's kind of been put into Bernard's head, that Ford is, I mean, like he's always said, he controls everything in the park, that he unlocked the door so that they would find it, because I think that he's luring everyone else into a trap by, and he's using Bernard to do it. And that's why, you know, in the, those interrogation scenes, it looks like Bernard's spilling all the beans to Charlotte. But really, I think that when they put him in analysis mode, it's Ford, like, coaching him, say this, say this. I think they're set a trap for him. So just my thoughts. See you guys.
I'm with you on the trap part. Like Jared explained, I think that that theory makes sense, that it's, that's why he gets emotional, has some tears or whatever. But I'm not with you on the Ford unlocked the door and it made it easily kickable. He just kicked it in. Maybe Strand has robot legs.
It might. I mean, it does make sense. Like, Ford needed Charlotte to find out about Bernard being a host in order to get to, like, use him for more information, like, to know she can get it out of him instead of just, like, torturing him and shit. Like, really torturing him, not simulated torture. D-nailing.
Which we're still not clear on why she did that in the first place. Which you could just use analysis mode.
But yeah, just, this is all Ford's plan coming into play.
Ford's plan.
Oh, let's hear from Louisiana.
Hey, this is Vince from Louisiana. Just had a thought. The episode before last, Strand said something about when the cradle was destroyed, they lost a third of their IP. What do you think that means? You think that means that there's three cradles? Or does it mean the cradle was destroyed and all they have left are the hosts and the human control units? Just curious. Know what you guys take on that. And also, just purchased a Lisa mattress tonight. Hoping to get it in 3 to 6 business days. You guys rock. Take it easy.
Dude, good for you. That's a huge move. And it sounds like you could use more sleep.
Yeah, he seems like he's a little tired. So
you're going to benefit big time.
This man just joined a elite fraternity. It's a co-ed fraternity, but one that Ross and I are in, and that is people who own Lisa mattresses, baby. So just like this great caller, Vince, from the beautiful state of Louisiana, you too can be sleeping on a Lisa in less than 10 days if you buy now. It's pretty crazy. You can get it that fast. They send these mattresses right to your door. Here's the deal. A quality night's sleep helps you recover from distractions faster, prevents burnout, helps you make better decisions, helps improve your memory, and overall just make fewer mistakes in your life. It's not marketing, it's science. To design a better mattress, Lisa leveraged 30-plus years of experience and hundreds of hours of testing to develop the perfect mattress for all body shapes and sleeping styles, and that is the Lisa mattress. And they ship this thing right to your door. It's insane. It comes in this little box. You take it into your room, lay it on your bed frame, and it just blows up like a freaking, like, life raft from an airplane. It's insane.
That's not. Yeah, okay. It's the same kind of concept, but it's not that violent.
No, it's not, but it's kind of similar.
It's very calming.
And here's a little anecdote. So my girlfriend was recently talking. She's like, ever since we moved into this new apartment, like, I've been sleeping a lot better. And I was like, you realize why that is. That is because ever since we have moved into this apartment, you have been sleeping on a Lisa mattress, because that's like, we put that bed in our new place, right, when we moved in. She was like, oh shit, that's exactly right.
The best, Jerry, the best.
It is the best. So it is helping my girlfriend sleep better. It's helping me sleep better. Russ, how refreshed do I look? I actually look pretty damn good today, don't I?
You do. You're glowing like a pregnant female.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I look beautiful. Lisa's mission is to provide a better night's sleep for everybody. And through their 1-10 program, they donate one mattress for every 10 they sell. That's more than 26,000 mattresses and counting.
To people in need.
To people in need. If you want to get a Lisa mattress, like me, like Ross, like Vince from Louisiana, you can get $130 off if you use our code. Go to Leesa, LEESA.com/freeze.
Freeze.
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 Oh my, freeze. It's my George Dekai. Is that right?
Yep.
Or you can use promo code freeze, but the Vandy URL is a lot easier. Leesa.com/freeze. And you can be sleeping on a beautiful Leesa mattress within like 10 days. It's insane. You're going to sleep better. I guarantee it. Getting back into your call, Vince. We are led to believe that the cradle, I think it was just damaged. Like they blew up kind of a third of the cradle. So they lost all of the one third of the IP that was like all there kind of by where Angela blew up. But it's possible that all of that cradle was destroyed. And then there's the human cradle or maybe another cradle, maybe two cradles in the Valley Beyond. I don't know. We're going to find out soon, though. I'll tell you that much. Right, Ross?
Yeah, I don't have any thoughts on that. Thank you, though, Jared.
Yeah. Final call.
Hey, guys. This is Ari calling from Atlanta. I just have it's a complaint. And I hate to do it because it's one of my favorite shows of all time, probably behind Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones. But so much of this season is getting driven forward by just the complete ineptitude of the Delos response team and security team. Like, we're kind of led to believe that this organization is kind of the most powerful thing that's ever existed on the world, and yet their soldiers or whatever are basically like stormtroopers in Star Wars. Like, they can't hit anything. They're just, like, rushing around, getting shot and killed. I mean, you guys have been, like, talking about, like, cheesy moments of this episode or of this season. But when that guy gets, instead of killing Elon Musk's incredibly hot ex-wife, like, I get why, like, I get it, but, like, she's very hot. But, like, instead of killing her, he gets seduced by her when he's just watched his friends get killed by her. That was the most ridiculous thing the show's ever done. It completely took me out of this episode. I mean, I love the show, and it's going to be top five for me, regardless of how it goes. But I hope next season the writers kind of turn this down a little bit, make it a little more believable, because it's just getting a little ridiculous. Anyways, love the show. Love Westworld still. OTC fam. All right. Have a good one. Bye.
I will say this, Jared. For the way that guy was introduced, what's his name? The dude who ends up getting seduced by Angela?
Ingalls.
Ingalls. The way Ingalls was introduced as, like, the most badass security guy we have met to this point, right? He's, like, mowing people down and, like, yelling, like, is that all these fuckers got? Or what? Like, what does he call him? Mech? Whatever. His badass action line that he gave that was super cheesy. He was introduced to us as, like, this game changer, kind of. Like, you thought he was going to be all, you know, this was going to be a big, big part that this dude had to play. And then by the end of the episode, that isn't, like, essentially what he did was like, man, I'm probably about to die as a result of this, but daddy horny. That's what happened. That was the way he went out.
Yep.
Like, he knew what was happening and he still went with it. He was like, ah, fuck it. She's real hot.
A big problem a lot of people do have so far is the stormtrooper comparison to these Delos dudes who are getting mowed down.
They're just getting wrecked. And we've never seen any of this. I don't necessarily think it's supposed to be like the most powerful organization in the world, Delos, but it's supposed to be a very powerful corporation with a ton of resources at their disposal, with this massive response team that they have for situations like this. And then we haven't really seen the response team do much damage in the way of anything, really.
No, they've killed a few hosts.
And then they just get rocked.
Yeah, you got to imagine, like, they would have a contingency plan. Like, this is clearly their contingency plan. You know, they had the waypoints and, like, the whole, like, one sector at a time, you close down the park. But you would think they would have, like, a doomsday scenario plan where they're like, okay, you know, the hosts can be made to kind of not die or be brought back to life. So what we need to do is they need to take the zombie approach where you destroy the head. That is the approach that they should have been taking all along. If you shoot it with bullets in its stomach and its organs get hurt, that doesn't really matter. You need to destroy the head.
Right.
You need to smash the head, like, get a warhammer, like Robert Baratheon. I put a Game of Thrones reference in.
Just keep going, yeah.
And just smash the head in, and that's how you die. That is what they should have done. They should have gotten, like, RPGs or maybe grenade launchers that can just go right at the head, maybe plasma grenades from Halo 2.
There you go. Yeah, the problem I have is that it's like, okay, I get it. Maybe the generic troops you've got sweeping sector to sector, like they can be a little stormtroopery. It's like, but your special guys, like Ingalls, the dudes that are supposed to be taking care of serious business, can't be so horny that they just give up. That's not the way that can work.
No.
Just whoever hired Ingalls made a terrible, terrible mistake.
And whoever tasked Angela with the cradle destruction made a great choice.
Yeah, that
you know,
was sick. I'm really not kidding, though. I need her back. I will miss her dearly.
You got to imagine if it was like the woodcutter, just somebody just gross, then Ingalls would have just shot him from far away, and then the cradle wouldn't have been destroyed. But they picked Angela. Very smart move. All right, that's all the calls, but that's not the best part of this episode. Here's the best part of this episode. We are about to blow your mind. This deal that we're currently running on RowdyGentleman.com, which is a clothing brand operated by our company, Grand X Media, not only is it the best way that you can support the podcast because the money that goes to this clothes that you're buying goes to us. We're not like most podcasts who are like, hey, can you donate to our Patreon, whatever? Like, you won't really get anything in return but bonus content. You can get tangible material goods by supporting our podcast. It's crazy shit. Here's the deal. RowdyGentleman.com, we're currently trying to clear out our warehouse to make space for our awesome fall lineup. And to do that, we are literally selling our... This is not us selling overstock. This is not us selling, like, misprints and stuff. We are selling our legitimate lineup of clothes for just unbelievably cheap. $5 tank tops. $5 hats, including a hat I wear very often, the USA Tricolor, which is an awesome hat. This is my favorite colorway that we've ever done. It's this like really cool light blue, kind of like denim looking thing. It's $5. Like right now, you can legitimately get 5 hats for $25. Like that's all the hats you need. We can just make your hat life real. There's $5 tank tops, $5 t-shirts, $5 beanies for the winter. You know, stock up. We have... $15 Hawaiians? Is that authorized? Are we allowed to do that?
We are now.
What? This is insane.
It's a crazy-ass warehouse sale. You can get a lot for a little.
Yeah, like honestly, right now, if you go spend 1 minute going to RowdyGentleman.com and hitting the sale section, I guarantee that you're going to see something you like, and it's going to cost like fucking $8. That's not a joke. Like, go check it out. And here's the crazy thing. Ross.
Sup?
I don't even know how they authorize this. If you can still use promo code FREEZE. On top of these $5 things.
10% off of 5.
15%
off. 15%, oh my God.
I know.
Jared, we're just giving it away.
$100 right now could legitimately get you
30 things.
Kinda.
I just made that up, I don't know.
Wait, so it's, well, 100 divided by 5 is 20. 15% off of that is 15. You can get 23 things right now for $100.
Math has never been my strong suit.
I think I'm right, but maybe not. So yeah, go check out RowdyGentleman.com. Check out our warehouse sale. Help us clear out our warehouse and look amazing in the process. I recommend the USA Tricolor. I also recommend the Stars and Stripes Hawaiian. Two great things. Those are going to look amazing on 4th of July. And the National Anthem swim trunks of $15. But yeah, that's the show for this week. Tweet at us. Forward's plan. Tweet at us, DM us, leave comments. We will respond to you. I am at Jared Borislow.
I'm at W.R. Bolin.
Sorry. I'm at Jared Borislow.
I cut you off.
You did.
Sorry. I stepped on you.
It's your birthday.
I stepped on your face.
Everybody go to Twitter and tweet at W.R. Bolin. Happy birthday, daddy.
If you don't, I won't enjoy it.
You won't?
Oh, you don't have to put daddy. Mm-hmm. I'm saying if you don't tweet at me, I won't enjoy my birthday.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant if they don't tweet, you won't enjoy the tweet, which is how that works.
No, my happiness is completely based on number of tweets that come at me, so I need this.
And make sure when you do that, you also tag me in it so I can see it, and then make sure you hit me with a follow as well.
Did you just say so I can see it?
I did.
Wow.
Super sage.
That was a fun reference for like the 6 people who got it.
At Freeze All Motor on Twitter. At Freeze on Motor Functions on Instagram. Intern Serena, who called in earlier, does awesome Photoshop work for us. We're going to be putting up some more today and forever. Time for the NPR style. Sign off. Freeze on Motor Functions is brought to you by Grand X Media and hosted by me, Jared Borislow, along with Ross Bolin. Michael Wiener regrettably produced the show. Special thanks to Phil from DC, a.k.a. Schnapple, on SoundCloud for our intro music. Brad Hess for our outro music. And Intern Serena, who does insanely awesome Westworld-themed Photoshop work for us that you can check out on our Twitter, at Freeze on Motor. and Instagram at Freeze on Motor Functions. We will see you Monday for the Episode 8 recap and review. Ooh, ooh.
Freeze on Motor Functions.